With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Peter, joined as always by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm fine, thank you.
Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. That's the pleasantries dealt with. Right, first of all, the FFS Royal Rumble is continuing on. The scores updated yesterday. Us three are still flying the podcast flag. We're all still in it. There's two game weeks left before the other cut. I'll remind people after the next two game weeks, which will be next weekend because of the mid-game week. The final three of each group will be eliminated. And then there's one big mega group. The scores are reset and we go again. So you might be flying high like Scott Prem Fantasy, but I think the highest overall points so far, but that gets wiped when we start again after the next two game weeks, and then it's a race to the title. And what else? Nope, that's that finished. Right, league, our own league first. I'll start there. So the top three is changing the top. Yep, number three, McColgan 92 with 1540 points. And out number two is E6 Hammers, 1544 points. And up to number one, after a good game week, is Melvino, 1968, with 1567 points. So that's early out of the way. So let's go to the Mega League, and we'll go through our score rank. I'll go first, because I'm also the lowest rank out of three. Not for long. 90 points this week for me. Clark in goal, 7. Strain, 12. That was a transfer in. Captain Tar, 30. Cochran, 6. Kelly, 6. Barisic, 7. So a very strong back line. Tillman, 3. Jota, 12. Hatate, 3. Who missed out on 4 by like 4 passes because Andrew subbed them. And up top, Shankland, 2. And Furuhashi, vice captain, 2. Nothing on the bench, which takes me now up to tied 55th in the world. So it's 2 good game weeks in a row. So over to you, Tom.
Yep, so I'm Red Arrow for me this week, 28th. I got a total of 81 points. I had Carson in goals for 6, Strain for 12, Captain Tav got me 30, Cochrane got me 6, and Sean Kelly got me 6. In midfield, I had Tillman for 3, Ginelli for 1, and Yota for 12. Up front, Shankland 2, Vice Captain Furuhashi for 2, and Duke got me 1.
Donny, yourself?
Okay, so I had a Red Arrow as well. I'm down to 17th at the moment. So in goals was my one change. I took in Birigiti and got me 1 point. Captain Tav, 30. Sean Kelly, 6. Cochrane, 6. Carter Vickers, 6. Tillman, 3. Jota, 12. Stephen Kelly, 3. Morelos, 6. Shankland, 2. Vice Captain Furuhashi, 2. So that was 77 points. Global score, 1551. 17th overall.
Just on that, I was looking at the kind of top 10, 15, 20 as my next goal is looking, but it's quite bunched up. So it's like one good game, one bad game week can be a red and green arrow. So yeah, it's getting to that point now. Right, so we'll go through the results first. Think about dump time. So the game weeks of the last week were St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0, Ross County 3, Kilmarnock 0, Rangers 2, St Johnstone 0, Hibs 6, Aberdeen 0. Game of the week, Donny. Livingston 0, Hearts 0, and Dunedin 0, Celtic 2. So, Tom, over to you.
Yep, so we'll start off with the fixture of the game week, which is Hibs 6, Aberdeen 0. We had a goal from Josh Campbell, a second goal from Josh Campbell with an assist from Newell Ellie Ewan scored with an assist from Newell. Nisbet with an assist from Josh Campbell. Josh Campbell again with the penalty. And William Fish scored with an assist from Josh Campbell. Liam Scales got a red card. Aberdeen didn't get a single shot on target. Jim Goodwin was obviously sacked immediately at full time. Wonder if it was a mutiny or a rift in the dressing room. So time will tell with that. If Aberdeen get a good result this game week, then perhaps it was. Obviously, Josh Campbell was the man of the match for this one. I think that was the highest score ever for a single game week in Fantasy Football Scotland history, with 30 points. Obviously, got the hat-trick, the two assists and the three bonus. We said last week he was in form, but I didn't expect that. Certainly not enough to bring him in. I doubt I would have done it anyway because I had to manage the Roos situation, but never mind. With Nisbet, he's obviously in decent form as well, but this is the last day of the transfer window, so Hibs play tonight, but will he still be here or will there be a transfer pending? Obviously, Wigan have showed some interest, Millwall have showed some interest. Wigan also made a double bid for him and Josh Campbell, so something to keep an eye on there. Aberdeen, obviously, an avoid until we kind of see what their form situation is. So, what's your thoughts on this one, Peter? Was it a mutiny?
It's definitely... You don't get beat 6-0 unless you're not playing for the manager anymore. I mean, there's professional pride at play at some point, so I don't think Jim Goodwin is that bad a manager that the players don't know what they're doing. So, I mean, it's none looking half decent when he was there. They looked okay in patches when he went to Aberdeen, but something's obviously happened behind the scenes and it'll probably come out in the wash at some point. Hibs, a couple of good players there you've mentioned, maybe be on people's list, but two things to consider. The first one you mentioned was the transfer window, so maybe hold it this week if they're still there. And two, if you're building towards, if you've only got no wild cards or something like that, you're building towards that blank, then they obviously blank. So as much as Hibs do appeal, then again, they were playing Aberdeen, so how do you take that a pinch of salt? They're on the radar if they can improve their form, but I'm not interested until the window shuts tonight, this time there's broadcast out, and also the game week blank. That's me.
Yep. Donny?
Okay, so being from Aberdeen, I decided to support my local team this weekend. They've not been in a good run of form. However, they did lose a barrage of goals. Thankfully for me, that was Cove Rangers, who lost 5-0. And not to be outdone, Aberdeen went one better to lose 6-0. I think that's probably them rock bottom now, and that they did get rid of the manager. I think it was something to do with Goodwin. I think if you take it back to the start of the season, he got rid of Brown, he got rid of Considine, the Ramirez situation, he effectively stripped him of his number 9. So I think it's just taken till now and everyone's probably just had enough of him and that was the easiest way to get him out. But when you watch the game, they just, you know, Hibs, who have been on a bad run of form themselves, just made it look so easy. You think of that team that were 2-1 up against Rangers at Pittodrie not that long ago to where they are now. They've just absolutely capitulated. But yeah, Campbell grabbing the headlines. I thought Ewan had a good game. He could be a differential up front. But, you know, anyone who's still got Aberdeen assets, I guess you've only got yourself to blame there because they're so bang out of form. Whether that'll turn around, I mean, they do have two home games, which I guess will help, but then play Celtic. So I don't know if I would make that move just yet. Hibs, again, they've been bang out of form, but, you know, does this make up for it or is it a flash in the pan? They are the early team news tonight. So I guess if you do fancy Campbell or Nisbet, you'll get to see it before you make any changes. So Campbell, I think, is worth a punt. He was always dead cheap. So I can't imagine that's changed over the weeks. Ewan, I thought, as I say, was good. And Nisbet, if he's still a head player, could be good as well. But as I say, for Aberdeen, they've sunk. It's probably the lowest they'll go now. So whether Robson can do anything with the current team, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Robson, is this his first time managing Robson? He's not been the manager anywhere
else?
Yeah,
well, I think he's involved with the youths behind the scenes.
Still a big step up, so that's not something I've been pinning my hopes on anyway.
It's a big ask.
Yeah. Our next fixture then, we've got Rangers 2, St Johnstone 0. It was a Tav penalty, and Kamara got the second goal with an assist from Morelos. For St Johnstone, Nicky Clark seen the red card in the 37th minute. I think St Johnstone are a void just now, so I won't go too much into them. We've seen Todd Cantwell start for Rangers. He probably needs some time to bed in, so we can't really take too much away from that. Morelos still seems to be the favoured striker. He had 6 shots in this game, 3 on target, and he did miss a couple of big chances. So probably the striker to go for at Rangers. It was a decent haul from Tav. Good captain shout this week, because we have been kind of experimenting a little bit recently with our captaincy. So just a reminder, maybe back onto the always captain Tav mantra. One of my considerations is, though, is it time to move off Tillman? So I'm thinking that one over this week. Maybe Donny, you can inspire me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you were going to come off Tillman, you'd probably go to the defence. I think I mentioned this last week. I think if you had Tav and Barisic, you're probably going to point score better than the midfield. So just on the Cantwell situation, obviously our first signing of the window, given a run out at home at St Johnstone's probably the best you're going to get. I don't see him starting against Hearts. I think you'll probably see Sakala come back in, and he'd maybe be a first change on there. So don't jump on him immediately. But yeah, the Tav penalty, Captain Tav, you know, just shows you can't ever sway away from it. 30 points was a good one to have. Looking at the flashpoints within the game, we also had the red card and then the Jack tackle. For what it's worth, I probably think they're both red cards. Clark doesn't mean it by any means, but it is a nasty follow-through, and Jack was sent off for a similar challenge. I think it was maybe last season against Aberdeen. And Jack just makes a challenge as a result of the initial tackle. He kind of goes to get retribution and goes in hard. So I think they probably should have been both reds in fairness. But I don't agree with Mark Reynolds. He said it should have been a penalty to St Johnston, even though the foul took place in their box.
Just doing that, Donnie, I was watching that with my pal, right? And he was watching it, and I was talking to his wife at the caravan. When I seen it, I forgot who was playing at whose end, and I went like, surely if that's a foul, that's a penalty. And then he went,
yeah, box. He booked him as well. So.
Because he was belting back that way, we forgot where he was.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite amusing. A rare goal from Kamara, Morelos with the assist, which was good for me. I've still got him in my team, getting 6 points, which in terms of the strikers this weekend, a lot of them blanked. So that was a good return. So yeah, I've got the same note down here. If you're running Tav, Barisic and Tillman, that might work out going forward. Cantwell, possibly depending on how he comes on. And if we ever sign Raskin, he might be a shout as well. But St Johnstone, hard avoid. Rangers, a routine win. So happy with that.
Yep. And Peter, anything to add to that?
Video assisting Rangers, that is all. I'm only kidding on. St Johnstone, I'd said last time, they have come back from the World Cup break. Absolutely dire form. They're one of the teams I wouldn't even go anywhere near, not even for punting. Rangers, I thought they played decent enough without looking too spectacular. So 2-0 was kind of decent enough. Obviously, the Barisic didn't work for me last week. Barisic worked this week, so I'm happy with that. We'll go into the fixtures later. We've all got a wee dilemma with the amount of players we've got playing each other in these games coming up. But I am happy with Barisic going forward. Tavernier, obviously, and it was Tillman I was thinking as well, because you've now potentially, if that is it Raskin?
Yeah.
If he signs, you're going to have more players that can play these positions. You're going to have this kind of dilemma. You've seen we've got Celtic midfield where you just pick the nailed one and go for it rather than run the risk of Cantwell comes in, Sakala comes in, Tillman comes in. So it's one to watch going forward. But if Tillman starts to get his minutes managed, I think I'd be looking to go elsewhere.
Yep.
Our next fixture then, we have Ross County 3, Kilmarnock 0. We had goals from Brophy, Jordan White and Danda. Assist came from Kenny. We had got 2 assists from Kenny. And our old friend Ross Callaghan also got an assist as well. It seemed that Kilmarnock missed the suspended Danny Armstrong. I wasn't expecting a bigger scoreline as that, but here we are. Kenny got 2 assists. These were his first assists of the season, and he's only had 1 goal prior to this game. Danda, this was his first goal of the season. Jordan White does have two goals in two games, but he is prone to barren spells. So I would be ready to jump on Ross County just yet. So I'd probably say there's still an avoid from me. At Kilmarnock, I still like Ash Taylor, I still like Danny Armstrong. However, still, they're the only two that I would consider at this point. And I do kind of just see them as like sort of your fifth midfielder, fifth defender kind of slot, rather than kind of your main points, your main guys for points. But other than that, no other players really, really stand out in this fixture. Peter, what's your thoughts here?
Didn't really see this one coming, but I suppose this is what happens when you're playing to the bottom. I'm still not convinced by any of the teams. I was surprised Kilmarnock could beat so easily, because I normally expect the at least have them set up. I mean, I know it's different. You play against Celtic twice and they looked like they were rigid defensively. I suppose they're going to go for it more against Ross County and leave their cell open, but still, if Ross County can show this for a couple of games, then maybe we can start running their cheap defenders again, maybe back at Lacafetti or a midfielder, but there's only three teams out with the top three that kind of have interest on me, that they look decent on paper when they play Mun, Dundee United and Livingston. Don't know if any agree with that. I think that's the three teams who I think would be my fifth choice players in every position in an ideal world, because they all seem to have competent managers who have competent tactics. The rest I have real interest in, not including these two. Sorry, hey, go off track.
No, that's right. Donny, what do you think?
No, I'd agree with that. For me, these are the games that Killy need to win if they are going to get themselves off the bottom of the table. And as yet, I don't think they've won a game away from home all season. So it just shows you how bad out of form they are. Same as you guys, it was a surprise scoreline. But Ross County have freshened up in the transfer window. Brophy and Kenny both brought into the team. So whether that's just freshened things up for them, we'll need to wait and see. But I don't think the score was enough to show off either team or to turn away from what we've already got. So from that point of view, I'm just going to stay away from both of these sides.
Yep. St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0. We got a goal from Main and assist from Strain. Main gets a lot of shots on target, but his scoring record isn't that great. He does have 4 goals and 2 assists this season. He's perhaps a consideration given the upcoming double game week for St Mirren in game week 25. However, I'd probably be holding off that one until closer to the time. For Strain, I think he's a great option. He offers both attacking and defensive returns, and he is the third highest scoring defender in the game. So he's a keep for me. Ayunga was on the bench for this game. He's obviously been quite popular this season, but after his kind of long spell out, he's not really been the same player as he was prior to that. So I'm probably going to keep an eye on things with a younger for the time being. I'm not going to be rushing to get him in until I start to kind of see some more returns from him again. Motherwell, again, not really a consideration. Van Veen's, we kind of mentioned last week, he kind of offers some hauls here and there, but there is a lots of ones, twos and threes mixed in between, and the striker role in our teams is quite competitive, and I think there's maybe perhaps better options still. So again, Van Veen's maybe one to keep on the back burner for the time being. Donny, thoughts?
Yeah, so a lot of the same things as I've got written down here. The main Strain partnership worked out well. I know a lot of teams have Strain maybe as a bench trick player and got nice points this weekend. But as for Main, I don't think he does enough, as you say, to make you move from where we are at the moment. You mentioned Ayunga there. He came on as a sub, but then he went off injured. I think it's quite a bad one. So I don't think you'll see him for the next few weeks. So in terms of double game weeks, you're going to probably have to look elsewhere. Both teams do have good fixtures, including double game weeks ahead. So it probably is something you want to dip into. Strain would definitely be a hold in terms of the St Mirren defence, and for me, and I imagine everyone else, whenever they see Motherwell's name being mentioned, it would be Van Veen. I would plump him in for a double game week and then probably take him out. As you see, he scores and then goes quiet for weeks. But if you can get him at the right time, I mean, he's already scored a hat-trick this season, so you could come up good there. So in terms of a punt when it gets to the double game week, I might dip in there just to see where we're at. But Strain, definitely someone you can bank on and worth having. But Motherwell bang out of form, something in. As Peter said, they're getting quite reliable this season. So yeah, good result for them.
Yep. Peter, anything to add there?
Yep, start Motherwell, kind of agree. The only one I've kind of ever had my eye on would be Van Veen. And again, it was only, like Donny mentioned, double game week. You take a punt of your cheaper striker and see if you catch him on that hole. You could be lucky, could not be. Motherwell's my team, I think, is actually going to go down. I've been watching the last few weeks' highlights. I think they're the one that, I think they've done the same thing where they've hired a youth coach, hoping for the best. Sometimes you hire a youth coach, you get what you get because he's a youth coach. He's maybe not ready for the first team management yet. He didn't really get them the manager boosted in. The team looks lackluster. I do like to follow the fans on Twitter and see what they say about it, and they're not happy. They don't see much changes. They've not had much transfer news either, so I think he's going to go with the same squad at the end of the season, and I don't know if he's got the tactical nous to get himself out of this mess. St Mirren, the younger thing I was going to bring up, Tom, because I don't know if you're thinking about him, he was on my radar this week for a transfer, but also that's been scuppered. And also Carson off injured as well, or he was out with an injury. I think he has went for a scan, I believe Robertson said. So he might not actually play tonight. So it might not be a long-term thing, but the way he was saying is that he's hopeful, but it could be doubtful for the night. Then he started talking about the second-choice goalkeeper, so I don't know if that reading between the lines is he might miss the first game. I know you've got Carson, Tom, that's where
heads up.
so transfer, I can have get Fee Livingston in there, and I think I need to get rid of Montano. So I was thinking I'm Mirren midfielder, but a lot of the midfielder are getting linked away with moves tonight, so you don't see the team news. Like, I think Erahan's left. Did he actually leave? I think he got his move.
I think a bid was accepted, yeah.
Bukis, the Australian boy's been linked as well, so it's whether I would dip in there. I'll talk about this later. Maybe go for O'Hara, because Tom mentioned before he's on pens, or I could do a double up in defence, just bench one of them until the game week, and then you can move out again. I'll come back later, but obviously that's my St Mirren dilemma, because the keeper would be a good one to have in, but he's a doubt, and the youngest one we all kind of stuck by most of the season, and he's out for the foreseeable, and that's it.
Yep. Next up, we've got Livingston 0, Hearts 0, and although the scoreline's not very interesting, there was an interesting point I noticed here. It's usually Ginelli that starts down the middle for Hearts, but in this game, it was a lad called Yutaro Oda. He was up front. Ginelli was on the bench. He came off at half-time, but it wasn't Ginelli that came on. It was Garang Kuol. I probably butchered these names. But he came on at half-time and got three shots on target and missed a couple of big chances. But I do think he's one to watch. He's an 18-year-old striker. He's on loan from Newcastle. He previously played for Central Coast Mariners in Australia, where he got 6 goals and 4 assists in 16 league appearances. So not a bad record there. He's a 4.9 million forward in the game, so one to keep an eye on. For Hearts, they've had 4 clean sheets in the last 5 league games. So it just goes to show Peter was right about Craig Gordon. So in Xander Clark we trust from now on. In terms of Livingston, I don't think there's any standouts in this game, and they do have Celtic next. Kilmarnock sandwiched in there between the fixture after that, which is Rangers. So I suppose there could be a hold just now, considering they do play in game week 26. But I'm not as fussed on Livingston as you guys. I've obviously got Sean Kelly. I think maybe if you had Stephen Kelly, you might have been better off. But yeah, perhaps a hold because they're playing 26, depending on what your wildcard situation is, of course. I'll come to you this one, Peter.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a wee wild card thing. So you've got a few wild cards falling in your pockets everywhere. I'll start with Livingston. I do think, I know you're not as so. It's more sold on the fact that point returns are pretty steadily. You can just kind of plug in place a fifth choice midfielder. Maybe not the striker, but the two at the middle and defence and go for it. I know they've started playing, I believe, a couple of younger boys now who are actually cheaper again, 2.3, 2.4. Is it Pin Rice's one? Was that right, Tony? You confirm that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Boyce or Bryce or.
So it's just keep an eye out. If you're looking for funds and to
boys. Get
more players in your team at higher price brackets, I think that's something to keep an eye on if they start holding down their position. And the form's upturned as they came in, so it's a good thing. I've got Freedom right now. Obviously, I'm Leicester, so I don't really want to have Freedom going forward, so one will have to go. Hearts, it looked steady enough. It was one of the games and nobody looked really like scoring. 0-0. I was happy because obviously I had to double up with the defence, and I was getting to that point today. I was just double quick flicking the Twitter update to make sure nobody hadn't scored a jammy goal somewhere, so it would kill both my clean sheets. Didn't happen, so I was happy with that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tom mentioned they've got the play in the blank, so I suppose if you've got one or two, you'd totally see Sutton glaringly always out there. Otherwise, I don't know much to add. I think if he's going to three Hearts, at least two Hearts, but they're going to blank soon as well. You just need to navigate it as it comes. Again, wild card dependent, like Tom mentioned.
Yep. Tony?
It was actually the perfect result for me. There was no real damage done, and I managed to get a couple of clean sheets out of it, so I was pleased with the score line. I think the issue is, as Peter's touched on there, we've loaded up on Hearts, third best team in the league. That's okay. And Livy, they should have had the double game week, but the game was cancelled. And now they've played each other, and now they play Celtic and Rangers, so you're going to be hamstrung there. I've always had a soft spot for Livingston. You kind of just maybe have it over a season that they've done you well and you remember it. But they are good for the clean sheets. Midfield, I've got Kelly. I'm probably going to bin him. For Hearts, I've got Snodgrass. I'm probably going to bin him as well, in terms of just tidying things up. But they are a team you can just have a player sitting in there. I think Hearts, they probably made those changes ahead of the Rangers game on Wednesday. I think you'll see Ginelli, Snodgrass go back into that midfield, and that'll toughen them up. Shankland a bit quiet recently. It's a bit of a concern. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite me on Wednesday. But Livingston, yeah, another clean sheet in the next game. I'll be happy with that. That's me.
Yep, sorry. A final fixture then. Dundee United 0, Celtic 2. We got a goal from Jota with an assist from Moy. And Moy also scored a penalty as well. We did talk about Moy last week. I do think he's a good option. Obviously, he is on penalties. He has had his haul now. And Celtic have kind of turned a bit of a corner in terms of the defensive form. I'm just wondering if the likes of Carter Vickers or Johnston, who are pretty nailed in that back line, are they going to outscore him with their kind of more consistent clean sheet returns than relying on Moy getting penalties and assists and stuff here and there. So something to consider. Maeda was benched again. Abada started, but Abada didn't do too much. Mm-hmm. And the new striker, he got a run out for the final 10 minutes. So not really too much to report there on that one. Jota's obviously still a must-have. There were times in the game where I felt that he was perhaps the only player showing some creativity on the ball. For Dundee United, I thought they had a decent game. They showed resilience in defence. And I thought Beregidi had a decent game. The clean sheets haven't been too regular for Dundee United recently, but they have predominantly played top half opposition. So they're going to play... When they previously played Ross County and St Johnstone, the clean sheets remained intact, and I think they faced them again plus Kilmarnock over the next three or four game weeks. So a nice run, perhaps some clean sheets there. I think Behich or Freeman could be a good cheap option, or even Beregidi, as mentioned before as well. And they also do play in 26, so that is another plus point as well. Donny?
Yeah, so I took in Beregidi this week. That was my one change for Roos, who's out injured. So it obviously wasn't for this game, but they play consistently over the next few weeks and do have generous fixtures from a price point as well. I was getting value. So although I didn't do anything to get me returns here, it's hopefully going to pay off in the next couple of weeks. Again, for the game, somewhat Rangers. It was routine, didn't really struggle too much and managed to get over the line. Jota continuing his decent run, and obviously Moy was my differential last week with another standout performance. It's whether that, as you say, it can continue. United lost the game 9-0 last time out, so it was a much better performance. And again, like Peter says, this is a team, it's maybe through no foundation, but it's you trust them more than the likes of a Motherwell or a Ross County. I think they do have the crux of a good squad in there. What should be gone, and then they should have a more settled team there. For Celtic, again, similar to what we had before Christmas, there's no early team news, so you're just going to have to trust the selection. I think the team's been pretty much settled. Apart from that, Maeda, Abada, Forrest, they seem to rotate. Everyone else kind of seems to be nailed on. I've got Vickers, Jota and Kyogo, which has done me well this weekend. So handy points. So hopefully Livingston, St Johnstone and Aberdeen can maybe do a bit better over the next few weeks. But yeah.
Is that our fixture, Tony? I just checked. Dundee United first, I think they just haven't been pressed when I've watched them play. Even though they lost some games, they've been tight defeats. They've just looked tactically more astute. I think they do have, as you said, the makings of a good team. I've more trust in having one of their players in than somebody else that the team mentioned before. So I think going forward, let's keep an eye on them, watching their highlights, and maybe go for one, two players. The keeper's obviously really cheap. So is Freeman, the defender. I think he's really cheap as well, starting defender. So those are two that stand out for cheap assets. Celtic, again, I think, Donny, you're right with the whole, it's pretty nailed on apart from that one position. But I think Abada done himself no favours this week with his performance. So if you have Maeda and you're worried about get rid of him, I thought we'd give it the Pedro touch of death. I think he'll be back in for the Livingston game because he has been probably more form and he's probably felt a bit kind of not upset, but just probably he's been unlucky to get missed out for Abada. He's just trying to manage game time. I don't see him else changing. I don't. The Moyes situation, we've got a question on it, so I'll just wait to that time. But it's pretty similar to what they said. Apart from that, pretty routine. It wasn't too much. It wasn't the greatest performance, but 3 points in a clean sheet. On you go.
Yep. Our top 10 then to conclude.
Josh Campbell.
Obvious one this week, number one, Josh Campbell with his 30 points. He's obviously a midfielder. In second place was Tav with his 15. Moy was 14. Fish at Hibs, 14. He's a defender. Strain, 12 points. Obviously, a St Mirren defender we've touched on. Jota, 12 points. Eli Yuan, 12 points for the Hibs forward. Dandit at Ross County, we were probably not going to touch. He got 11. Glenn Kamara at Rangers, 11 points for him. Obviously, a midfielder. And Newell, also a midfielder, got 10 points, which gives us no goalkeepers. which is fairly consistent with previous game weeks. Three defenders, which is surprisingly given the amount of clean sheets. Six midfielders and one forward. Cool. Any thoughts on that, guys?
No, I think if you had any Hibs assets this week, you would have cashed in pretty handsomely. But some familiar names in there. I guess Strain's a differential. Seen him in a lot of teams. That was good. That's interesting.
Yep. I thought it'd have been more defenders with the amount of clean sheets, but I suppose the midfielders outscored them with assists and stuff like that. What I did see this week, a lot of people had Campbell on their bench, but they don't use a bench trick player. So they've lost out. I've seen a few teams on Twitter with that. They've got a flame 15, so rather than use a bench trick player, they've lost out in a big major hole. Right, two questions. Well, the one question this week is from Gavin, and then loads of numbers again. Hey, what about Moy? I already have my three Celtic players. So is it worth shifting one for him? So we've all got our opinions on this. I'll start with you, Donny, because you have your differential. So you actually called it last week. So opinions on Moy.
Yeah, so it's all about form and whether you can see it lasting. Celtic won't get penalties every week, so that will dry up. But he is pretty nailed in terms of his position to Schnauz. So I guess most folk have got Kyogo and Jota, and maybe the other one's a defender. So you're basically playing off whether Celtic will keep a clean sheet versus Moy getting a return. And Celtic do have good fixtures in the next three games. I think that you could easily see three clean sheets there. So Moy then has to assist or score to sort of better that. So it's whether you fancy that or not. I would edge towards it. Like, if I had a couple of free transfers, I probably would move to it. But as it stands, I'm not going to make that change because I need to work towards the double game weeks coming up. It's a tough one. He is a player on form, and sometimes you just have to get on it because form can stop quite quickly. As I say, if I had the transfers, I probably would try and get him in. But then I recommended him last week and I didn't do anything about it. So it's just the way it goes.
Well, Melvin, listen, you can see you brought him in. I see he did such a high score. There you go, Melvin. You
know. Oh, well. Good to know.
If I had one Celtic slot left, I would probably go for him as well, as you said, form. But I don't, so I'm not wasting a transfer for Hatate to him when I've always got this funny back in my head, his age and the games we're playing week in, week out. It could be night. You're not going to see LT news, and Matt Riley could be back in, no problem. David Tumble could be back in and place him. Just a one-off game for a rest, and it wouldn't surprise me. So just that in my head, I wouldn't do it. I think Tom had said something in the chat. Tom said you could buy him and bench him using the bench trick player. But then that's losing one of your Celtic slots on the bench. To me, I wouldn't go down that road. I would totally go, if you've got a spare spot, I would go for it. But I don't, so I won't be going for it. That's my take on it. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, so I seen an interesting stat on Twitter this week where it said that Taverney has now scored 64 penalties since arriving at Rangers, and Celtic have had 64 penalties in the last 15 years. So that's maybe averaging maybe a couple of penalties a season. So
I think that stat's been debunked already, by the
way. Yes. Oh,
is it? I think it was a wind-up.
It was a wind-up. So don't believe everything penalty. You read on social media then.
No, it was a wind-up. It was his 49th penalty.
They done it to get bites, and it worked well because both sides were biting it and trying to prove it wrong.
The real me in.
Got to check. He's trying to get a fact check, Tom.
I know. Is it not his
65th goal? Something like that, but 39th, something like that. Donnie, we would be telling about that.
Nah, he's got 100 goals, I think, or close to 100. It was his 49th penalty. All of them have been legitimate. can't really complain about anything there.
You get a highlight, he'll show all these pens, get them up so we can go through it with a VR machine. Right, aye, Tom, you get done there, Bill, you're brilliant. What is to next? Right, so that was all the questions, so we'll go to fixtures this weekend. So obviously there's two game weeks coming up, but the game's the night. We'll just concentrate this weekend. We'll cover the other fixtures when we come back. So we've got one team news early tonight. It'll be Ross County and Hibs. So I don't know if that makes them interested. Maybe if Josh Campbell and Nisbet starting It could be the hot one to go for, but then Ross County has won, so I don't know. And then all tomorrow night, we've got Motherwell St Johnson, Kilmarnock Dundee United, Hearts Rangers, Celtic Livingston, and Aberdeen St Mirren finish off the game week. So upon hearing the fixtures, I want to know your captain, vice-captain, transfer plans. And first of all, I take it, I'm going to come to you first, Donny. Three Hearts, three Rangers?
Yeah.
Three Celtic?
Yeah.
Many Livingston? Nice. I mean, that's so I'm three Hearts, three Rangers, three Celtic, and three Livingston, so I've got the full set. So you can see the dilemma coming forward, transfers. Yeah. What would you do first?
This is kind of situation where I'm almost forced into making two changes this game week. I think because the next game week comes on Saturday, it never feels as so sore because I'll be able to get them back. I want to replace Kelly and Snodgrass, but midfield's not a great position across the rest of the teams. I mean, looking down at the squads, there's nobody stands out in midfield other than what we've already got, other than Hibbs. You could take the look at the team news there. You might want to punt on that, taking Campbell, but that's a change I want to make. Don't really want to get rid of Sean Kelly or Cochrane. You know, I'll just bench them, get past midweek and then see where we are at the other end. I've also got Morelos. I think his game time's limited, so I might want to make a change there. Tillman. So I've got a few holes that I need to fix, but this could be the game we can make two changes just to ease off Hearts and Livingston. Captain, vice-captain-wise, I think Tavky will go. No reason to switch off of that. It should get some points this game week, but the transfers is going to be a tricky one. As I say, there's not a lot of value in midfield. Maybe we have to revisit that top 10 again, see what names were
Josh shouting Campbell. Out at me. Josh Campbell. just on that, there's going to be a lot of players that are engaged with similar situation when they met a player zone for these teams. So unless they've been planning towards it, I very much doubt they will not have done. So I wouldn't be too scared about losing that much ground. Do you have two, three transfers or is that burning a hit?
No, I'll just have the one. So it would be a -4. But, I might just have to take it. I can't see any way out of it at the moment. So we'll see what it's like at 6:30 and we'll go from there.
Right, Tom, how many players do you got from the four clubs first and then what we do?
I've got two Rangers, two Celtic, one Livingston and three Hearts.
So you're set up not too bad then, I suppose. So
yeah, not too bad then. I'm not too sure in the transfer plans. I know I'm definitely going to captain Tav, vice-captain Kyogo, because I think Kyogo should get some goals with a home game against Livingston. And after last week's holiday, I'm a bit uncertain about coming off Tavi just yet. So probably stick with that. I don't know. Livingston's fixtures aren't great. So I was thinking maybe get rid of Kelly in favour of Johnston at Celtic. That's something I'm considering. However, obviously I've got the Carson situation. That's a concern. And also Ginelli. Is his position now under threat in the Hearts starting 11? So that's a concern. Two, I've got the Duke, who's Aberdeen aren't in great form, so that's another consideration as well. So it only really has to do is for the next three game weeks anyway, because then the wild cards are going to come into play. So I don't really have to think too long term. So I might just go Johnson at Celtic and be done with.
Out of the players you mentioned, that probably the safest bet or the closest safest bet to potentially a clean sheet, I think. So it suits sound, I suppose. Hey, I'm Captain Tav and I am vice-captain Kyogo as well. Transfer plans, we can allude to earlier on. I've got three Livingston players. I don't want three Livingston players anymore. I know they play in the blank, but so do other teams. So I was thinking of two things. I was maybe going to change Anderson to Van Veen because they've got St Johnson, but I can't quite stretch it. So if I wanted to do that, it would need a minus. I don't think it's worth it for Van Veen in, so I'm not going to bother with that one. I could also double up St Mirren defence and bench one, because Strain's going to be playing, because he's probably the most chance of returning both ends of the pitch. Bench one, go with that. But the other one is Montano, who's lost his position. His place seems to be, he's gone, so I'm losing value him week to week. But who do you bring in midfield? I mean, the only one that kind of stands out from the teams would be either Matt O'Hara. Or do I take a 1 week punt and bring in a Livingston, a Hibs midfielder once I see the team against Ross County, and then you can move for there going forward? That's what I'm thinking, but I'll wait to see T News before I make a call on it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is. Right, that is us finished then. We will be back next week and we will also cover on two game weeks. So we will probably post for questions before a game week online so we can answer you, because we'll do our podcast. So we'll try our best to help you online. Donnie's always there and about for the day because he's got limited tea breaks. And I'll see him when I come in. So if I will post, I'll probably post a tweet maybe on the Thursday night, I think, and say, if you want to ask questions for coming game week, I'm going to help. That's probably the best way around it with the podcasting.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to do it. So get your plugs in, guys. Donnie, where can we find you?
I am at FFS underscore Donnie.
And Tom?
I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
I'm at Fantasy Half. So I'm going to get off this quite quick and get this online so these lovely listeners can hear it before the deadline. So goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.